Hello everybody and welcome back to the Damage Report. Possibly a pretty big week, maybe an impeachment vote coming up. And so who better to launch into what might be a historic week than me, but also Brooke's here.
Oh,
I'm kidding. No, it's awesome so that you're here. Brooke Thomas, glad that you're here, as with all Mondays.
All right, it didn't start off sounding like that.
I thought that I took the joke back fast enough.
Did you think so?
To like, no?
Yeah, no. I think next time, rethink making the joke.
At all.
Yeah, right.
We're talking, really.
I want what's best for you.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. It doesn't seem like that, though.
You're the one who started this off shady.
I'm totally joking. No,
I've been smiling all day.
You did.
You know?
And there were dogs here. You should know that. I'm in a better mood because there's multiple dogs running around.
There are multiple dogs here.
But anyway, here's what we're gonna get into through the course of this hour. We have a Democrat switching parties over impeachment. We've got a police chief calling out Republicans for blocking gun control with pretty strong language. We've got Donald Trump, one of the weirdest and sickest attacks against a politician that he's launched before. Amazing climate change ad. And then we've got some other stuff too. A pro Trump boxer or a UFC fighter had a bad weekend. So that's gonna be interesting. Rick Strom of TRT Sports is gonna be joining us to break that down at the close of the hour. But before all of that, why don't we launch into the impeachment related news in the morning? Donald Trump and the Republicans, they want you to believe that the Democrats are divided on impeachment. And they technically are. There is one who is actually switching parties as a result of the Democrats' push to impeach Donald Trump. This is Representative Jeff Van Drew, who was already the party's most vocal opponent of impeaching Trump. Apparently made the decision to switch parties after a personal meeting with Trump on Friday. That's cool. The congressman had begun informing some of his staff later that day, but didn't want it to be public until the following week. But by Saturday, the news had leaked. I don't know exactly why the news leaked, but I would think that if you are a Democrat working for a Democratic congressman and he decides to switch parties with the Republicans specifically because he can't stand the idea that Donald Trump would face consequences for what he did, your sense of loyalty to that employer probably evaporates pretty quickly.
Yeah, and you know how, like, what I always think when you talk about people who say, this is why I became a Republican because the liberals are too this, they're too that. And it's like, so you sided with the racist. Mm-hmm. Because we were too, like, what? Nothing should be able to make you side with the racist. Mm-hmm. If anything, you'll be frustrated, but not side with the racist. So we are just, I think, from this, learning a little bit about who this person truly is. Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
I think that there are a lot of reasons that you could switch parties. Mm-hmm. And this does happen, by the way. If you're just getting into American politics, every once in a while, I don't know, every year or so, someone changes parties. It's even happened with senators in the past couple of decades. It's rare, but it happens. But if of all of the reasons that you could choose to switch parties, like, you know that argument that AOC made about why impeachment needed to happen, and it was that we have to get these people on the record. This guy is desperate to go on the record as supporting Trump so bad that he will literally switch parties and potentially torch his career, which we'll get into, to defend Trump against impeachment.
Or is
symbolically, because it's still gonna happen.
Desperate to side with the racist.
All of that is underlying what I'm saying.
Maybe it's less about impeachment and more about who this man really, truly, deeply is.
I think it's both of those things.
And who he's always been.
I think it's both of those things.
Maybe, yeah.
He can't stand to see this guy impeached because they attack Bernie as like, he's not a part of the Democratic Party. Yeah, he's got a 75% approval rating in the Democratic Party.
Right.
This guy was a great Democrat. The DNC would have defended him up until Saturday, I guess, because he was technically a Democrat. But he was one who was working to stop impeachment, was much more conservative than the party at large, and is willing to switch parties over it. By the way, we don't have time to get into the whole thing, but the Democratic Party just made an endorsement in the Texas Democratic Senate primary for MJ Hagar. I understand Hagar has some supporters or whatever, but Hagar was a Republican up until just a couple of years ago. And so, like, if you're gonna be attacking some independents as this person's not technically a Democrat, but you are like embracing these people who either just were Republicans or on the cusp of becoming Republicans, you need to really figure out how important party loyalty is to you.
Well, to be totally fair.
Since when do we have an obligation?
Do you have a time limit on when, how long it's been since you were a Republican?
I don't have a hard time. No, I don't have a hard time limit, but there is obviously some sort of time limit.
That's not obvious to me. So for me, it seems disqualifying.
Ever.
It's bothersome for me, period.
Okay, that's fine.
But so I'm curious.
I think if you voted in a Republican primary in 2016.
Okay, so it's.
That's pretty recent.
It can't be in the past few years. It has to be 10 years.
Well, 2016 is literally Donald Trump is running and you're like, nope, I'm still down to be a Republican.
And that doesn't mean that they voted for Trump. But
No, it doesn't mean that they voted for Trump, but that Trump being embraced by the Republican Party mm-hmm. was not by itself disqualifying for your participation in that party.
Okay. Anyway,
I don't want to get too much into the hater stuff. That's not the story that we're talking about.
Right, okay.
This guy is what I'm frustrated about. I think we should at some point have a conversation about that because I think that is very interesting.
I've never heard you like say that. And there's a lot of people who like used to be Republicans that you're cool with and then I didn't. We don't like slam Elizabeth Warren for that. And,
well, yeah, you know. To be fair, first of all, a lot of people do. But I would say she was a Republican decades ago.
Right.
That's different than 2.5 years ago.
Okay, maybe not to like the marginalized communities that those policies she supported.
Not
maybe
at all.
Not, but I guess I don't. And I like Elizabeth Warren, you know, and I love the policies now. But I think that the argument is the same. I don't know. I think I'm trying to work it out myself.
Does that make sense? One of the things that we always disagree on is. I agree.
One of the many things. That
we found, I think there's three things. I always disagree about it not making any difference.
Okay.
I think it doesn't make all the difference, but it doesn't make no difference. I'm somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere here.
I think that
with this being the distance between us, I'm somewhere here.
Yeah, no, I think that like it doesn't make all the difference. It doesn't make no difference, but there's less of a difference that it makes for me, mm-hmm. like on the spectrum, no matter how long ago it was. It's all about the same for me.
I don't necessarily agree with you, but I respect your opinion.
Okay.
You know who probably doesn't? This guy. Anyway, I honestly don't know.
What is this?
I don't know. We're talking about a million different things. I didn't know a lot about this guy beforehand. I probably won't learn much after this because he's becoming a Republican, but
to jump ahead.
I mean, it had been a district that Republicans held up until very recently, so maybe he'll be okay. But I got news for him. Like in the past couple of decades, maybe Trump will go all out supporting this guy because he switched for him. Maybe. But like staking your future on Trump will never throw me under the bus mm-hmm. has not generally worked out for people. And recently, partisanship is of a sort in America that they would just rather have a real Republican, someone who was a Republican up until the whole time. And so I want to give credit to Sahil Kapoor, who tweeted out most recent party switchers in the US Congress and what ended up happening to them. So you had Justin Amash, we'll see. I don't think the Republicans are going to like him very much, but
it's
Parker Griffin.
To be determined is hilarious.
Exactly. Switched from Democrat to Republican, then lost in the primary. Arlen Specter switched from Republican to Democrat, lost in the primary. Like, this isn't as clever as politicians think it is, mm-hmm. I think. People don't like this generally. And it's not to say that people shouldn't be able to change, but you better have a good reason. And I think the Dems are being too hard on Trump. I'm not sure that that's gonna play with a lot of people.
And you know what's so frustrating is that, let's say this is strategy, because it seems to be like kind of what that's looking at, like the possibility for it to be. And that is so frustrating because it's like this idea that it is about staying in office. It's about keeping your job, not necessarily like fighting for the people who you, you know what I mean? Like using what you believe in to fight for a large group of people. It's about keeping the job and that is awful. But also on the right a lot these days, that's all that matters. Just join the team.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how, who, what, when, just join the team.
Yeah.
Well, it's all lies anyway.
Yes, but I would add until Trump declares that you're not on the team anymore.
Maybe, yeah.
Even if you've been 100% supportive of him.
Yeah.
And I just think for this guy, Jeff Van Drew, like I know that this doesn't literally accomplish what I'm gonna say, but it feels like this is a stamp of approval for so many disqualifying, horrible, immoral, and illegal things that Donald Trump has done. That I get that the impeachment is limited to a very limited thing. That was not my strategy. I spoke out against it, but that's what we're going with. But I feel like his record is about to be on trial. And for you to, knowing that your switch is not even gonna stop it, it's still gonna go to the Senate. It's a weird symbolic move to make to say, no, I have to stand and be counted as a defender of Donald Trump. What a pathetic move to make.
Exactly, and before we go, can I just like clarify what I said earlier? I didn't mean to say
I prefer if you don't.
Disqualifying. What I meant was that It is like, I don't know why I said that, but it's like all about the same. There's no, the difference in time doesn't make a difference in my mind.
I want us to have a full conversation about that.
Obviously.
I'm curious, because I want us to understand each other better. Okay, well, we want to do it now.
Is it Monday still?
It's just Monday. We didn't have our big theme song before the show. But anyway, okay, we're gonna take a short break and we're gonna work out some stuff between us. I'm kidding, you're good. And then we're gonna be back with, we've got a police chief in Houston speaking out against Republicans' devotion to protecting the NRA, despite the cost, even when the cost is a police officer's life, mm-hmm. after this.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic. Or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
You're either here for women and children and our daughters and our sisters and our aunts, or you're here for the NRA.
So that is the police chief in Houston who is talking about the recent death of one of his police officers that he believes could have been avoided if certain sorts of seemingly common sense gun control had been passed. They have not. The Senate has no interest in pursuing any sort of gun control whatsoever, despite the fact that bills have passed in the House, including the Violence Against Women Act, which has stipulations that theoretically might have influenced what happened here. But it's really strong language against particular Republicans and their dependence on the NRA's support, and especially financial support. So I want to give you a little bit more of what the police chief said.
We all know in law enforcement that one of the biggest reasons that the Senate and Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn and Ted Cruz and others are not getting into a room and having a conference committee with the House and getting the Violence Against Women's Act is because the NRA doesn't like the fact that we want to take firearms out of the hands of boyfriends that abuse their girlfriends. And who killed our sergeant? A boyfriend abusing his girlfriend. So you're either here for women and children and our daughters and our sisters and our aunts, or you're here for the NRA. So I don't want to see their little smug faces about how much they care about law enforcement when I'm burying a sergeant, because they don't want to piss off the NRA. Make up your minds. Whose side are you on? Gun manufacturers, the gun lobby, or the children are getting gunned down in this country every single day?
That is about as strong language as I've heard targeted at senators over the lack of action.
I mean, like, the law enforcement community sticks together, whether good or bad. They do, and it took
a lot of the times bad.
I think that it's hard. I don't want to be that person that like finds a negative within like a positive. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's frustrating because it's
But you're a critical thinking, analytical person. You're going to do that.
On one hand, like, this is not the only domestic violence case they've gone out to, like, as a community, as law enforcement officials. Like, this is, and so the fact that it always sucks, for lack of a better word, that it takes something happening to your own for you to want to speak out against something that is just generally bad.
Now, we don't know for sure with this individual that he hasn't previously spoken out about this, for sure.
The
I don't
chief?
Know. Yeah.
I've never seen a video of the Houston police chief speaking out against the two senators in the NRA.
I don't regularly tune into them, so I'm going to say I don't know for sure.
But news as it is now, it is national
perhaps.
News because he's doing this. I think that if it had happened before, we would have seen it. I think
perhaps
this is a big deal. And it, so on one hand, that's bothersome. It does suck that it has to happen to it. To your own home. It's like when women are abused and men have to realize that they have a daughter.
I've
that
never
they
understood
have a
that.
Mother. Do you know what I mean?
And it's always said as like, I've had a revelation. Oh, right. My God, I know women.
Right.
But did you have to know particular ones?
Right.
Because most women are also people.
Right.
So you'd think.
But then also like setting that aside, this is a good thing. This is a strong thing. We need somebody who's willing to stand up for what is right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree. And despite
I'm happy
the fact
to see that
we'll probably get attacked.
And unfortunately, someone had to lose their life
yes.
for us to get here. And,
yeah.
hope, and you know, and I think that there's a response. It's so hard because it's nobody's fault that somebody died except for the person holding the gun, unfortunately.
Yes.
But do we all have a responsibility to do what we can to help better, like make this world a little bit better, a little bit safer? Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And look, thankfully, over the past couple of decades or all of American history, there's been very little action about guns, despite
right.
the fact that more and more people are dying. This is one area where thankfully on a state level, a number of states have instituted legislation of this sort. I believe 19 have something that's supposed to close the boyfriend gap.
Right.
But federally, no. And some of the politicians that the police chief there mentioned, they'll say, oh, no, it's not that I'm against it in principle. It's just there's issues with the bill. And so we're just not going to do anything for literally years. And if a bunch of women get killed by guys that have previously abused them and they want to go get a gun, you know, I mean, it bothers me, but I'm not going to do anything about it effectively because they are so worried that the NRA will talk about its slippery slope that it leads them to insane positions like fighting for people to be able to take guns into bars and airports, and people on the terrorist watch list should still be able to own firearms, and people who've been regularly abusing their spouse should still be able to have firearms. To regular people, that is madness. But when your political career depends on donations from the NRA and NRA members, you will follow that incredibly immoral path.
Yeah.
The Violence Against Women Act should just be, it should have been a slam dunk. You want to add things to it? Sure. I think there should be progress in a 3-decade period. But the fact that so long as we have Republicans controlling literally any branch of government, there will be nothing done, that is madness.
It is, absolutely. And it's also, I hope that in pushing these two senators to do something, that part of the focus can actually be on women.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think the police department in general, like the police community, can do a better part. Our criminal justice system can do a better part of protecting women who are survivors or victims of domestic violence. And do you know what I mean? Like, because oftentimes—
Even outside
like
of this issue.
Absolutely,
yes.
When something terrible happens, it's the fourth or fifth time.
Yeah.
You know, and so I hope that this conversation starts something bigger.
Yeah.
And everyone is able to look within, and the answers and the responses that we're getting from the two senators are gross.
Yeah, they're self-serving.
Yeah.
Best interpretation, self-serving. I couldn't agree more, so we'll end there. We're gonna take a short break.
Right.
When we come back, let's turn to Donald Trump launching a new attack against Nancy Pelosi. We're gonna evaluate it on its merits after this. So with Donald Trump, there are two things. There are vicious juvenile attacks and there's projection. And sometimes there's both. And so we have an example of that today. Nancy Pelosi had done a press conference about impeachment, and a bit of the video had been tweeted about by a Republican congressman. And Trump decided to quote retweet that section about Nancy Pelosi saying, because Nancy's teeth were falling out of her mouth and she didn't have time to think. So he is implying that in this bit of video, her teeth were falling out of her mouth. If that's not what he's implying, then I have no idea. It's difficult sometimes to interpret this level of mania, but that's what he said. The issue is that the video doesn't show that. The video shows that just before answering a reporter's question, Pelosi moved her mouth slightly and took a sip of water, but her teeth did not appear out of place and her speech was not interrupted.
And even if they did, like this is not something that the president of the United States should be joking about or talking about. Like this is so juvenile. That is a first grader joke. Like,
yeah.
Oh, your teeth fell out. Ha ha ha. That's not like that is not an adult thing. That is not a presidential thing. And I get so tired of like the whole like doing like the both sidesy. Like, do you remember when Michelle Wolf made a joke about Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Essentially,
well,
her joke was that she tries to fancy it up a little too much for the podium, essentially. Like, that was kind of like the joke, like smoky eyeshadow and lies. And it became this, how dare you talk about her looks? You called this woman ugly, which is not what happened. But like,
I agree.
People on the right were like, do not mention a woman's makeup. Do not mention her appearance. Don't. And yes. I can rock with that. I also think this should be upsetting then, right?
Yeah.
Like, by principle, if that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If that's where you stand. But again, like I said, I hate to do that. I just did it in detail.
No, I like it because I find that very, it allows me to say, by the way, Michelle Wolf has a new special joke show on Netflix and it's hilarious.
But yeah. This is so frustrating. And I don't know, it's like,
so
it's also Monday. It's Monday, and tomorrow it's going to be Tuesday.
I know.
It's going to be Wednesday.
Well, and Tuesday we're not going to remember it.
Because he's going to say something else crazy
exactly.
Like this.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, so I get that some people will say, come on, John. Come on, Damage Report. Why are you wasting our time with this? And I get it. There's a lot of other important stuff. I would argue that we're covering some of it on the show today. But like, what are you supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do
with
that?
Are you supposed to just say, oh, doesn't look like anything to me. I have no standards anymore, so I'm going to allow everything. And I understand that like covering it doesn't stop it, obviously.
I mean, it's
but like, what are you supposed to do if you want to live in a rational world?
Yeah.
What course can we take at this point?
I don't know. It is so, this is mortifying. Like just a couple weeks ago, like a group of normal leaders were, a couple of them are have made pretty horrible mistakes, but we're like making fun of how, I said one and then I realized who else was standing there and I was like, okay,
all.
So actually all of them in the
all
circle.
Of them are bad too, in different ways.
Right. But we're making fun of how ridiculous this man is and he's just going with it. He's just doubling down on, I am a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean.
Yeah, so. I have to say it because we pulled the videos anyway, so I have to say it. It's not just that he's like saying her teeth were falling out when they weren't. It's this weird like Michael Scottian thing where like he looks at something and he describes it in a way that's objectively not like you're talking about people laughing. They're not laughing. You're talking about teeth falling out. They're not falling out.
How
which seems
dare
abo-
you what? Compare the goat? That is
no, but like
Michael
that's,
Scott.
But I've,
to
ol-
this man.
I've only compared him to the worst components. He does that thing, and he might have done Scott's tots. It's Trump's tots. That's how. Anyway, but the important thing is it didn't happen, and I alluded to in the intro that it's projection. Like he did that projection about Elizabeth Warren, like in her marriage, when he's clearly talking about the fact that Melania lives on a different floor than he does. And this is just the most specific projection I've ever seen, because when he's talking about somebody having trouble talking because their teeth are falling out, I understand that if you're an elderly person, you have to deal with dentures. I don't yet know what that's like, but I am aging and I eat a lot of sugar, so I'll get there. But for right now, Trump's there, as you'll see.
Let us rethink old assumptions and open our hearts and minds to possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim, to join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians and God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
Was that an audio thing?
By the way, thank you for saying God bless the Palestinians.
Yeah, that was
I'm
nice.
I'm shocked he said that.
I hadn't seen that.
Good job. The rest of the performance was terrible. Your teeth are falling out. And by the way,
wait, you're
an older man.
It's a weird thing to say to
exactly.
anybody.
No, I'm old. I understand.
Yeah.
It's not an actual loophole.
Yes.
But as a kid, the loophole was when you do it, I get to do
no,
it to you.
But
so, no, but he's an older guy. He's got dentures. Sometimes they slip out. That's just a thing that happens. I have no idea if Nancy Pelosi even has dentures, but if she does, they might slip out. That's just a thing that happens. But if yours perpetually are slipping out and you're slurring in your speeches, maybe be a little bit more accommodating if someone else doesn't even have that happen.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
With your ridiculous projection.
It's just frustrating. Like, I would, it would just be so much more respectful. Bring up something in her district that your base wouldn't like.
Yeah.
Bring up something, you know what I mean? Like, instead, it's like she's coming after you with the threat of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about her teeth as like a comeback because that's all it takes. And this is just juvenile. And I hate the whole, you know, it's just, I don't know, the office of the presidency. Not even that, just being an adult should be the factor that like you don't behave like that. You don't act like that. You don't say things like that.
Yeah, and as a person who wants someone
everything
who's different in fundamental ways to occupy the office, I hate that that gets conflated with, well, Trump is different.
Yeah,
but not in the good ways, okay? I want someone who doesn't accept donations from certain types of industries, who actually rethinks what's possible, what we can do with legislation, all of that. I want someone who fundamentally rethinks what the presidency is about, but not in a way that just results in trolling people. That's a waste.
Everything that he tweets or says publicly is like, it's a representation of our country. And I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
What can you do?
We'll leave it at that. Okay, so I'm gonna turn to another topic. Just briefly, I wanna show you this. There's a candidate for Senate, Andrew Romanoff, who has a new ad that's out that he's getting criticized for quite a bit. I wanna show you a section of the ad and then we'll comment.
This is not the stuff of fiction, nor some far off threat.
California is in flames. The most destructive wildfire in the history of
an entire town.
This is a clear and present danger to life on Earth.
This is uncharted territory.
The strongest to ever hit the
floor. Officials are overwhelmed.
A catastrophe of our own creation. A climate crisis that condemns our children to an ever hotter planet. Their only home ravaged by storms.
At least three dozen tornadoes reported.
The record-breaking storms.
Floods.
Many areas will be uninhabitable for months.
Droughts and heat waves.
High temperature records broken by the hundred.
This is as bad as I've ever saw.
Wildfires.
Nine people are confirmed dead in Northern California.
Disasters that force millions of families to flee. But we have a choice. A once or perhaps a last in a lifetime chance to rescue the world we know and the hopes of billions not yet born.
Okay, so it is a 4-minute ad. That's one of the middle minutes. It goes on more about what he wants to do in terms of climate change, how this is a once in a lifetime thing. Before that, there was like a minute of a sort of futuristic scenario where people are having to hide inside because it's so hot, the emissions are so bad. I know, crazy stuff. Who could imagine that happening? But the weird thing is that he is getting attacked for running this ad.
Right.
A ton.
Why?
So Cory Booker tweeted something to the effect of, can someone check on Andrew Romanoff? Are you okay? Something like that. Like he was crazy. Now I get it. It had the fictional scenario in the beginning. It was a small part of it.
Now listen, see, that's our fault, okay? Because Cory Booker, he's like the corny uncle and it's fine.
You're saying he's joking?
I think that he has gotten a taste of like what happens when people like at a viral level laugh at your tweets.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. So you think he wants to zing him?
I think he's trying to zing him. I think there's some
missteps.
It's a misfire.
Okay. I would prefer that it's not in the area of climate change, but he does joke around on social media, so Cory Booker's fine. We're good with Cory Booker. But I saw, so I Googled Andrew Romanoff ad just to see how are the media responding to this.
Yeah.
And here's the first two things that I saw from CPR News. US Senate candidate, oh, by the way, it's in Colorado on the Democratic side. Andrew Romanoff imagines a climate change ravaged hellscape in a new ad. Is that good politics? No, better politics is we ignore it for another couple decades, I think. Another article, Andrew Romanoff goes apocalyptic on climate change, but will fear drive support for his US Senate bid? Okay, look, I too don't like when candidates run based purely on fear of immigrants and stuff. We actually should be afraid of this. I would say the fact that many people are just like standing on stage like, I have some plans that at some point I would like to do. That's insanity, that you're not afraid. You should be afraid, it's horrible.
You know what, when people are like searching for progress, right? In any aspect of like our political landscape, criminal justice, healthcare, education, anything. Fear and anger are always like touched upon as like, how dare you? As if that is not how the people in power, the leaders historically have operated and how they remain in power. Look at how Republicans talk about climate change. It's like this anger, like this is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, or fear. They're gonna take away your steaks. They're gonna take away your fancy cars.
Yeah. No more planes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't like how we like police fear and anger as if.
Well, I do think if it's purely xenophobic fear mongering about immigrants,
it's cool.
And minority communities.
That's generally how it's seen as fine.
Well, I don't. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't like it though.
It's so normal that it's not seen as like out of the ordinary. But if you yell about babies in cages, it's like, oh my, okay.
Can everybody's calm a little down
like
a little.
You know, anger is not gonna get us there.
Yeah.
You're gonna get high blood pressure. Calm down.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know. It's like I would think that doing that to children would be an outcome. Like
would
that
be worse.
You'd have to be angry to go there, right?
No, I think that you should fight back against this insane government and the horrible human rights abuses without experiencing any emotion whatsoever. Bold change at a moderate volume. No, it's ridiculous. Look, he seems like a good progressive from what I've seen of his platform and everything. I don't know a ton about him. Love to have him on the show. Andrew, please send us a message. We'll have you on the show. But yeah, more ads like this, okay? Because it is a gigantic threat.
Yeah.
I don't think we should be demonizing, making it clear that it is.
It helps like normalize just how bad it's actually going to get if we don't do anything.
I agree. Okay, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, the whole Hallmark saga around them pulling an ad. New development, we'll break it down after this. So initially there had been an ad for the Hallmark Channel. It was from Zola, a wedding planning website where there was a lesbian kiss. My God, in 2019. But my joking reaction there is how a lot of Americans actually reacted. And so they pulled the ad a couple of days ago. But now fast forward to today, they have reversed that decision and the ad will be replaying once again. An executive for Hallmark Cards, Mike Perry, said on Sunday that the team at the parent company behind the Hallmark Channel, Crown Media Family Networks, has quote, been agonizing over this decision as we've seen the hurt is unintentionally caused. Unintentionally, you couldn't have guessed that it would be an issue. Like it's just a big shock that people would have a problem with that. So he goes on to say, said simply, they believe this was the wrong decision to pull the ad. Our mission is rooted in helping all people connect, celebrate traditions, and be inspired to capture meaningful moments in their lives. Anything that detracts from this purpose is not who we are. We are truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this has caused.
And we have decided your gay ad dollars, they spend just as well as the straight ones. Mm-hmm.
No, like, no, he said something about the mission statement.
Like, I don't care, like you are, okay, bravo, you're accepting more money. Mm-hmm. Play the ad for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how you reel me
in. You know
in.
What?
Play the ad for free.
I can't make him play for free, but let's play it for free right now, okay? Oh, challenge accepted. Roll the ad.
I, Ava, wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website.
With our ceremony details on it.
And I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website.
Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
No, I do.
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
It's a cute.
Who could possibly have a problem with that ad? That was the first
ad. Yeah,
it was adorable.
It was really cute. Yeah.
And you know, I wish I had known about that there were websites like that because I just planned mine and it was kind of hell.
And you know, luckily, the voices of marginalized communities are now given platforms that create louder voices than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, because pulling that is a response to like the bigotry and those people and your fear that they won't watch your Christmas movie. Like, I don't know. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like,
they're afraid that a whole bunch of conservatives are going to boycott.
Is Cameron Bure going to stop starring in those films?
Well, but what if nobody wants to watch it because now they're anti-Christian?
But luckily, and there are a lot of LGBTQ plus people who are Christians, like, you know what I
mean?
That is
100%
true. They matter too.
Yes.
And I think that luckily the voice on the other side is louder now because that's what this decision is about, because nobody in charge knew anything different before they made the decision to pull it. Mm-hmm. But they learned after what changed was that the voices who were against like supporting and perpetuating homophobia were louder.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they were louder. And what they didn't know before they pulled the ad or declined to air the ads were that there are more of these people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they learned that. And then they were like, oh,
and
my
they're,
goodness,
they're not
unintentional
quiet.
Harm. Like, we knew it was going to be harmful. We just didn't want to intentionally hurt. Like, what?
Yeah.
I hate that. You know how I feel about like intent versus impact and also lying and apologies.
Official company statements and all that. and it's weird also that one might have thought you have a time in America where any LGBT representation on TV, not at all. And then, hey, progress. But no, in the middle, it's we'll put you on and then take you off. And then maybe put you back on again. Okay,
yeah.
So we're in that middle phase. And also, super fast point, if only we had language, political language to describe when a group thinks that something they're seeing is just offensive and it needs to be stopped. If only there was a term like political correctness. I know that that only applies to leftist concerns, but that is exactly what is happening here. This Christian group saw that ad and thought, that's not politically correct and I want it taken down. But we don't apply it to what right-wing groups think for mm-hmm. some reason. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the time the left has helped to advance that framing where it's only political correctness if it's someone on the left who
First
has a problem
all,
with it.
The phrase political correctness, the phrase identity politics, all of those are like little things to try and nip away at a push for equality.
100%.
All right.
Okay.
I'm hopping out. I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Been a great show with you.
All right.
More coming soon. We're going to take a short break. We come back. TYT Sports is in the studio to break down a Trump-related UFC event after this. So there you have a UFC event. Colby Covington, who just finished the event and is running away, got to be in victory, right? I didn't see the event. So Rick Strom of TYT Sports joins us.
I did.
So he's like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, I totally.
Is that what happened?
Showed my ass. Well, kind of. Like he ran away from what you would. He lost.
Okay.
You would think like. Let's just say he ran out of the octagon because he lost and he got knocked out and he brought shame to everything that he stands for, which is in and of itself shameful. So we're going to get to a lot of this, but basically if the shoe was on the other foot and he won, would he run out? Probably not.
I don't see a lot of UFC events. But yeah, he,
but do you
he
know
was
how
definitely
winners
in a rush
and
to get
losers
out.
Deal with
I only know how
and
winners
lose.
Deal with things. I've never experienced, anyway. So he did run out and he experienced a pretty bad injury, right?
He did, yes.
Okay, I wish that we could show you the footage, but they would literally drop a satellite on our studio if we did that, the UFC would.
That's
so, but we can't.
They have some pull.
They do, they're powerful.
Yeah.
They've had so many of these events. But his jaw was broken?
Yes.
Is that a thing that happens in the UFC often?
I wouldn't say like totally often, but it's definitely happened. Like. Mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali, granted, it's under the umbrella of fighting. He broke his jaw in one fight. He continued. Victor Ortiz broke his jaw mm-hmm. in a fight many years ago, boxing this is. He continued, but then had to stop under the doctor and just the trainer being like, this probably isn't a great idea.
Yeah. So up until this point, we've just been talking about this as a UFC event. I don't generally cover sporting events here. You'll be shocked to find out. There is a reason though, and it is the political angle here where Colby Covington, at least for some time, has been sort of trying to craft this WWE style persona for himself. Based
you could
around,
show the pictures. I mean, this.
Yes. Why don't we show totally one of the pictures? See, we're gonna show one of your tweets, where you appear to have a favorite in the up. The fight hadn't happened yet, but let's show his tweet.
No.
On the right, admitted sellout and racist to stay in the UFC. On the left, an immigrant with no electricity in his village walked miles for clean water and boil to eliminate parasites. Didn't eat without farming his own food. Now building clean water for Nigeria. Wonder who to root for.
Yeah, I mean,
and you see the Trump.
I absolutely despise your disparaging comments of what you think I am and am not saying, Jonathan.
So who are you rooting for?
I was rooting for Kamaru Usman.
Oh, okay, then I was right. Okay, so but what does it mean? Is he just wearing a shirt? Look, if you just wear a Trump shirt, then does that really mean a lot? Yes, it does.
Yes.
It definitely does.
It's like wearing the MAGA hat. Oh, which by the way.
He's also done that. But it's not, it goes beyond that. So why don't we go to his interview? This was with
Candace
Owens.
Tells you a lot.
You might have heard of. Yep. And here's what he had to say about his sort of attempt to get his contract re-upped, I guess, yes, with UFC a little bit earlier.
So I go out there and I beat him up, leave him in a pool of his own blood in Sao Paulo, Brazil, his home city. And I shoot this promo on the Brazilians. And I say, hey, you guys are all a bunch of filthy animals, you know, and in Brazil, you're a dump. and going back to kind of the racist thing, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're racist. You said Brazilians are filthy animals. I'm like, Brazil is not a race, you know, it's a country. and they use filthy animals in Home Alone. So it's
you
just
filthy animals.
Yeah, filthy animals. Yeah. Keep the change, you filthy animals.
That's the first I've ever seen of that show. That is a terrible show. He said your country's a dump.
You should see the Rubin Report.
That's I have not. But he said your country's a dump. She laughed harder than I've ever laughed.
All right,
I think.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
I'm not rotten to my core. But anyway, okay, so here, look, he had a couple of defenses against the charge that he is a racist. And
sure.
So I think we should respect the logical rigor with which he crafted them. So Brazil is not a race. Okay, so let's have a little analogy. If he went to Kenya and said, Kenyans are all that, Kenya's not a race. Mm. But I think we get where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm. I also think he wasn't referencing a great movie like Home Alone. And I think he should also.
It's a great movie.
I've
recently rewatched it.
Have you seen the free plug? The Netflix thing about the movies that made us?
Yes.
Home Alone is in there.
I didn't see that
one. It is fantastic. But he should never be allowed to talk about Home Alone ever again. But
no,
look,
he's banned.
It's not even similar to when the Iron Sheik was in wrestling because everyone knows it's fake. Like, mm-hmm, this is actual real stuff.
I mean, I would say there's a lot of stuff that the wrestling used to do that was bad.
Of course.
Hopefully they'll never do again.
Of course.
But it's a performance, I guess. Not to excuse it,
but
he is not in the WWE. It is not a performance thing.
These are real life people with real life stories that the UFC is trying to portray. And because he knew this was a fight against Damian Maia. Hi, this is a fight against Damian. Which camera am I looking at?
It's under the table.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was a fight against Damian Maia, who is a Brazilian, and he knocked him out. Or he didn't knock him out. He wanted to knock him out. He says all that racist stuff. And basically what he said in this Candace Owens interview was, look, they weren't going to re-sign me. Win, lose, or draw. I was out. I had to do something. So he decided to pivot. And he's also said on the record that, like, this is who he is. Oh. I wanted my true self to come out, he said in an interview. So look, what you see is what you get. He's playing it up to a degree. But, like, do we have that other picture of him in the press conference?
I don't know that we have the press conference.
In the orange suit?
No, I don't think we do.
He has an orange suit on prior to getting his jaw broken by Kamaru Usman. More on him in a second. He's playing up the character, mm-hmm, but the problem is you're promoting these racist ideologies like, mm-hmm, Donald Trump Jr., the triggered book, a Trump Pence hat
which
on his
definitely
knee.
Didn't
like,
read.
Like, best. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Best part about it, he
I do want to play the video too, though.
Okay. He had the book, right? And every time he'd like answer a question, then he just go back and pretend to read the entire time. So look, we all know what he's about. He's a terrible human being, and I could not be happier that he lost, objectively.
Okay, so let's turn to a different human being. That is Kamaru Usman, who yes, won the fight. And so here's a bit of his appearance on the Joe Rogan Show.
Okay.
I feel like that's the attitude that this young man has. He's entitled to. I should be UFC champ. You're soy boy, yeah. You don't deserve it. You can't hang with me, boy. That's his attitude. You can't do this, boy. First of all, who's your boy? I'm a grown ass man. Don't talk to me like that. And that's the attitude that he has. I'm entitled to this. I should be the champion because I am this way. I'm American. I'm this and that. Bro, we're all American here. And so this fight is greater than just me beating up a guy that's talking a lot. This fight means a lot to me. So when I get the chance to put my hands on that guy, let's just know this is the wrath of every immigrant that has stepped foot in this country.
That's amazing. That's
injected into my veins.
Yes. Yeah, you call someone a soy boy and then they break your jaw. I mean, maybe rethink the way you attack people. But anyway, looks like the better man won.
The better man won.
So awesome.
Kamaru Usman, I interviewed him at the ESPYs. He could not be happier to talk basically about this entire aspect and angle of the event. Yeah. And Colby Covington made it about American against immigrant, where Kamaru Usman says we're all Americans.
Thank you for joining us. Great to have you on today. Thank you everybody for watching the full show. We got lots planned this week, and you can expect, you know, JR and Brett and all of that. It should be a good week, so I'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.